Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So today, earlier this morning during the announcements, we heard the very good news that your pastor, Pastor David, came through a successful surgery on his heart Thursday morning. And now he's recuperating well. And his wife, Dawn, told us that Friday and Saturday he had already been sitting in a chair and even taking a walk. What a tremendous blessing for this church and for our whole city of Columbia. We also have received some tragic news this weekend. On Friday night, I learned about the accidental death of a 4-year-old named Gabriella Curry. This happened at Battle High School on the sidewalk in the bus loading zone. Some of you may have heard this. This morning, we pray for her parents who drive for Student Transportation of America and also for the rest of her family and friends. We also heard the prayer request this morning from your congregation member whose father passed away this morning. When we are grieving, when we are sad, distraught, or perplexed, we turn to the Bible, we turn to God for help. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we find this quote, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Therefore, we are keenly aware this morning that our city needs the type of comfort and consolation, the type of hope and love, the type of peace and joy that God provides. And on this Feast of Epiphany, there is so much good news for us to enjoy and for us to share when we go out from these doors this morning. There's more to be done in this city. There are people out there who are distressed and hurting for various reasons. They're in need of God's love. There's a beautiful song that speaks of our opportunity to serve right here in our very own city, right where God has planted us. And it talks about how there's more to be done in this city, how true that is on this morning. So let us hear once again this glorious good news story of the Magi, the sacred story of how the baby Christ child was visited by those three astronomers. Our hope, Jesus, can be found in this sacred story. And on this particular weekend, the way we remember the good news of Jesus' birth is through the visit of these three Magi. So let's review the parts of the story that pertain to the Magi's actions. First of all, after Jesus was born, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" They said, "We saw his star when it rose and wanted to come and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and as they were going towards their destination of Bethlehem, the star actually went ahead of them until it stopped right over the place of Jesus' birth. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overcome with joy. Just imagine that feeling of arriving at your destination after many, many months of journeying and following that star you really knew not where. And finally, it stops. So on coming to the house, they saw the Christ child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Or in your translation this morning, it was paid homage to him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that I was describing to the children. And after having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. So this sacred story can be seen as having two components. The first component is the following part. And the second component is the worshiping, paying homage, and offering gifts. And we are called today on this Feast of Epiphany to participate in those two components ourselves, each of us to follow and each of us to give a self-offering. So we are going to implement or imitate these Magi today. But instead of following a star in the sky, the star that we are going to be following on this Feast of Epiphany is Jesus himself, and he is trustworthy to follow. During the week, I teach school. Over there at Lang Middle School, I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And my learners in my classroom love to play a game in which we see some of our favorite stars up on a PowerPoint, either movie stars or social media stars or sports stars. And then we try to guess what languages other than English they might speak. And it's amazing to see how many of them know two or more languages other than English. The stars are attractive to us. The kids are drawn to that game, that exercise. They naturally want to follow someone who is beautiful and successful and seems to have their life together. They want to emulate those that they admire. Fortunately, for us Christians, we have the ultimate star of our life to follow after, our King, Jesus. That is the star that we set before us to follow. According to today's psalm, this star of ours is endowed with justice, righteousness, and wisdom. Since God and Jesus are one person in our belief, Jesus has unsearchable riches that he shared with us when he endowed us with the Holy Spirit. And he promised that we would do even greater works than he did here on earth. because he's going to his Father in heaven and can help us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the job of the church is to preach these unsearchable riches of Christ and to make it plain to everyone that all of us are endowed with these gifts that we can offer to Christ's people. We are to make plain the mystery of grace. And remember, last Sunday we talked about what grace is, this incredible unmerited favor that's been showered upon each one of us. We're supposed to make that mysterious grace plain and teach about it so that God's people can be edified. As Christians, we see this Jesus in everyone we meet, everywhere. The shape of the face can be seen as the shape of God. The shape of the cross can be clearly seen whenever we look at one another. And here's how you can envision it. When you're saying hello to one of your friends this morning in coffee hour after church, when you glance up into their face, visually picture a line going from the top of their head, through the forehead, through the nose, through the lips, and all the way down to the chin. That's one part of the cross. And then visually imagine another line going from one ear all the way through the eyes, across the nose, through the other eye, over to the other ear. And then you will be able to see the cross of Christ in your friends. You'll be able to see it when you meet a new person and think, Jesus died for this person. Therefore, I should honor and respect whoever it is I'm talking with, knowing that I'm seeing the Christ in their very face. There's a noteworthy Trappist monk named Thomas Merton who explained this concept of the Christ being in every person. And he said, at the very center of our being is a point of nothingness which is untouched by sin or illusion, a point of pure truth, a point or a spark which belongs entirely to God, which is never at our disposal and from which God disposes of our lives, which is inaccessible to the fantasies of our mind or the brutalities of our own will. This little point of nothingness and absolute poverty is the pure glory of God within us. It's like a diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. It's in everybody. And if we could see it, we would see these billion points of light right here in our congregation this morning and all over the world. If we could see, we could see the coming together in the face and blaze of a sun that would make all darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely. He says, I have no program for this seeing. It's only given. But the gate of heaven is everywhere. End quote. So just as the Magi presented their gifts to the newborn Christ child, we offer the gift of ourselves to God, and we offer it in two ways. First, we offer our whole life to God, and then specifically, we offer our spiritual gifts to others around us, our children, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our spouses, our loved ones, our partners. We use what God has given us to bless others. So the first one, the offering of our life. This is a big one because it's dedicating your whole self to God. So it's useful to have a song or a prayer that you've memorized to be able to do this. There's one song in your hymnal called, Take My Life and Let It Be. Some of you know that song. That's an easy one for you to sing and remember. I have two prayers that I like to pray in the morning time when things are fresh before the day has started. God's mercies are flowing new every morning. I like to say a prayer of self-dedication. I have one from my own Book of Common Prayer, and then I have another one that I'm going to read for you right now. It goes like this. Lord, I offer myself to you today. Build with me and do with me as you will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would serve of your love, your power, your way of life. And may I do your will always. There's also a beautiful Christmas hymn that some of you may have sung this season called In the Bleak Midwinter. And in the last verse of that song, we find a way of self-offering, self-dedication. The last verse says, "What can I give Jesus, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? I give him my heart." So that's a way that if you don't know what to give, offer your heart, offer your love. Offer to fall in love once again with Jesus or with the church or with the Bible. In the second arena, we use our spiritual gifts, as I was telling the children. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith." So each of us has a spiritual gift that's been given by God. It might be faith, it might be teaching, it might be compassion, but we all have one. And so you can remember the little drummer boy who he didn't know what to give baby Jesus, but he knew he could play that drum. So he came up to the side of the cradle and started drumming away and offered the gift of his music, his song. So we can offer a talent or a gift to Jesus. When each of us is making this incredible self-offering and using our gifts to serve, when each of us is following our own interior star or the spark of Christ within us, then we are contributing to a large spiritual awakening. By being connected to Christ, to our Christ nature, we're helping the world wake up to the divine truth of God. And as a human family, it's really beneficial for us to be woke. That means that our level of consciousness rises up high enough to solve our most pressing problems. For example, we rise up and use diplomacy to eliminate the need for war. Rise up and use cooperation to share the world's food and eliminate hunger. Rise up and distribute resources to ensure that every person is properly housed. We could do that here in Colombia. We ensure that every child has a free education throughout the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had the opportunity to be well-educated? Rise up and use ethics to develop a moral use of our speedily changing technology. Rise up and harness the power of our minds and hearts to solve the challenges of global warming. Rise up and dismantle systems of oppression and transform them into systems of justice and equity, thus bringing peace and serenity and tranquility. God gave me a beautiful dream showing this awakening. It happened a few months ago, and I'd like to share it with you briefly to end this sermon. I like to call it my 1,000 points of light dream, using a term coined by the late President George Bush in his now famous speech. So my dream had an outdoor setting with rolling green hills out as far as the eye could see, and the whole outdoors was set with tables for the heavenly banquet. And these tables already had the place settings set. And the tables with white tablecloths stretched out to the horizon as far as the eye could see. And at each table setting, there was a votive candle that was going to light up the place of each participant in the banquet. And the lights all came on. It was spectacularly beautiful. And I woke up just so blessed to have been given this incredible vision of light, the heavenly light that darkness cannot cast out. The heavenly light that is the light that enlightens every human being that came into the world on Christmas Day. So throughout this Epiphany season, may we follow this paraphrase of our reading from chapter 60 of Isaiah today. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For despite the darkness, the Lord has arisen upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, and then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice. So arise, shine, for your light has come. Have a very happy Epiphany.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.